Many Nachman are very bothered why the Masechta begins with the way it does with the Tekanas Rabbanon of B'fai Nechta, B'fai Nechta. I mean, it really makes much more sense to begin with the last Mishnah telling us what exactly is a get or a curse, or when does one give a get, when is there a mitzvah to give a get, when is there an issur to give a get. So one of the people, one of the Rishon Acharon who asked the question is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, why does Gittin start the way it does? So he says as follows. Because the Mishnah at the end tells you when you can and cannot give a get. It talks about the Beis Shammai writes that Lo yigarish adam es ishto elim kein matzah ba dava erva, from our very parsha this week, that the only time you divorce your wife is if you find the dava erva, something very negative. There's an isser involved. For that very reason, the Chassam Sofer writes, we don't want to start the Masechta in such a way, in a negative type of fashion, so we begin the way we did. Why begin with that type of case? The case is as follows, where the husband is Medinas Hayam. He's overseas. And he sends his wife a get. Why is he sending his wife a get? The Chassam Sofer writes, because he's concerned that if he dies, his wife is going to be forced to marry his brother, the Yibum, and he doesn't want that to happen. So to give her the freedom to marry whoever she wants, he prefers her to be divorced and a single woman than for him die and she has to be Zakuk L'Yavim. She has to marry her brother-in-law. And that's something called a get me'ava. A get, not because he doesn't like her, a get because he loves her. He wants what's best for her. It's a get me'ava. And the Achorim talk about there's a difference between get me'ava and a get rishus. Get rishus is what we have at the end of the Mishnah. So get me'ava, there's some differences. Some differences just to know is that there's an isser for if someone is a ma'ane, someone rapes a woman, he has to marry her, and he cannot divorce. If he divorces her, he has to continue to marry her. However, the Meshech Chachma writes, if he gives her a get me'ava, that's permitted. He's not allowed to give her a get rishus. He can't just divorce this woman who he raped, but he gives her a get me'ava because he doesn't want, because let's say he's concerned he's going to die, and doesn't want his wife to fall to his brother. So that's a get me'ava, that's permitted. So there are other differences between a get me'ava and get rishus. So that's why the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Masechta, talks about a get me'ava, a more type of positive get. What we're going to discuss right now, the Shulchan Aruch first discusses the very last part of the Gittin. Even though it's the last Mishnah Gittin, Shulchan Aruch discusses it first, what we'll call it, a get rishus. So what exactly is a get rishus? When can someone give a get to his wife? When can someone not give a get to his wife? So that's a three-way machlokes in the Mishnah Daf Tzad. So again, the Pasuk Dusik Parsha, it says, Ki kach ish isho vala, a man marries a woman, v'haya im lo simcha kain be'enav. If he doesn't find favor, ki matzah ba dover, ervas dover, he finds something in ervaner, kasev la sefer krisis, v'nasum bi'yada v'shalcha mi'beisa. He writes her a get, hands it to her, and she's let free. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says, like I said before, lo yigarish adam es ishto elim kein matzah ba dover erva. You only can divorce if you find an erva. If you find anything less, you don't like her, that's not allowed. How do you know? She'ne'amar ki matzah ba dover erva. Beis Hillel comes along and says, no, afilu hikdichu tafshilu, even if she burns your food or any other type of thing that you dislike, you could also divorce her. Shneamar ki matzah ba davers ba ervas davar. And Rabbi Kiva says, even afilu matzah acheres hanoa heimanu, you find a prettier wife, you're also allowed to divorce her. So three way machlokas. Again, Beis Shammai says only if you find erva. Beis Hillel says even if she does something wrong to you, or something not wrong to you, but something you dislike. And Rabbi Kiva says even if there's no reason to divorce her, you just find another woman who's prettier, that's a reason to divorce her. Three way machlokas. The question I want to deal with today is there ever a mitzvah? Is there an isser to divorce her? Is there a chiyuv to divorce her? Is it just an eitz tova to divorce her? What are these opinions here in the Mishnah? So the Gemara goes on to say, the bottom of the tzadi, the aleph carrying to tzadi amud beis, the Gemara says, if you find your wife who's out in the shuk, her hair uncovered, her arms revealed, and she's there sewing or weaving in the shuk, and she's bathing with men, there's a mitzvah to divorce. Gemara says a mitzvah, that's a chiv to divorce her. If she's mamish doing that, going in a bath with other men, obviously there's a chiv to divorce her. Rather, the Gemara says, if she's standing b'makom shebnei adam rochsin, she's standing in a place where people, men are bathing. She's not bathing with them, but men are bathing. That's reglaim medaver. There's some indication something good is not going on, but there's no clear proof of that. So if that's the case, there's a mitzvah min haTorah, writes the Gemara, mitzvah min haTorah to divorce her if she does reglaim medaver, some type of erva that indicates some erva going on. So if there's mamish arayos with edim brurim, real clear edus, is a chiv, If there's just raglan l'davar, there's a mitzvah. Now that's all for the opinion of Beis Shammai, that there's something to do with erva. But according to the Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel allows you to divorce your wife, even if there's no erva, if she simply burns your food, you're allowed to divorce her. Is that a mitzvah also according to the Beis Hillel? Or is it just an etz tova? Or just a rishus, one's allowed, but perhaps it might be viewed as an avera. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to divorce if she burns your food, that's okay, but we really view it very negatively.
So when we say mitzvah by Beis Shammai, is that not a chiyuv?
So there's no chiyuv, but we still encourage one to do it.
What does that mean, encourage?
Encourage it? No, if it's... No, you wouldn't. You would not. If we encourage, there would, or if, even if we wouldn't encourage, there would be a kiyum mitzvah, as opposed to chiyuv, where she's, there's real edim, we force him to divorce her. In this case, where there's no real edim, but there's still reglai in the davar, we would advise very much so. So there's a ber hetiv right in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin. Hilchas Gerushin, the Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simon Kuf Yutes, the ber hetiv writes as follows. He quotes from the Ranach that why do we allow a shchiv meira, someone who's on his deathbed, why do we allow him to give a get to his wife? The guy's dying, and there's no reason, she hadn't done anything wrong, she didn't burn his food, she didn't do any other rails. Why do we allow a shchiv meira, a man on his deathbed, to give a get? So he writes, in the case where there's no children, right, if the husband is sick and there's no children, we allow you to give a get, even though you're going to be mevatel, potential chalitza nibum, which are mitzvahs. You're being mevatel, another mitzvah, how can you be oker mitzvah? Let him die, and then she can perform the mitzvah, either yibum or chalitza. So why can we allow the get to uproot that possibility? Writes the Behetav, shenesinas haget, gam kein hi mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah saseh when you give a get. There's a key mitzvah saseh. The Chinuch writes, mitzvah tof kuf ayin tes, that if one does not give a get in certain circumstances, you're mevatel a mitzvah saseh. According to the Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel says if she burns your food and you dislike her because of that, and if you don't give her a get, it sounds like you're mevatel an aseh. There's a real mitzvah saseh when one gives a get. The Gemara in Gittin at the end says there are two different psukim which contradict each other. One pasuk says, if you hate your wife, you can divorce her. Another pasuk says, if you divorce your wife, you are hated by Hashem. First one sounds like, if you hate her, you're allowed to divorce her. Other one says, if you divorce her, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hate you. Sounds like, you allowed to, or is it a negative thing to divorce your wife? The Gemara says there's a difference between your first marriage and your second marriage. Your first marriage, so if you divorce your wife, you're hated in the eyes of Hashem. And the Gemara quotes an idea that Kol HaMegarish Ishta Rishono, anybody who divorces his first wife, Afil Mizbech Morid Olav Dimos, even the Mizbech sheds tears. So if you divorce your first wife, so Kadosh Baruch Hu hates you and the Mizbech cries. But your second wife, so that is if you hate her, so then you're allowed to divorce her. So writes Rashi, what's this talking about? If you divorce your first wife, you hate her. It's saying this is going according to the Pinyon of Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel, even though Beis Hillel does not force you to stay married to your wife if you don't like her, but if you do divorce your first wife, Beis Hillel would say you're hated in the eyes of Hashem. Sounds like, according to Beis Hillel, there's an avera. Even though Beis Hillel allows you to divorce a wife if she burns your food, you weren't allowed to, it's still considered an avera. Different than the Chinuch and different than the Ber Hetiv, where there's a mitzvah, this is an avera. This is the Pashup Shah, this is Rashi. There's an avera to divorce a wife, even though there's a heter to, it's still an avera. The Torah also sounds like, the Torah quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam says, we'll get to the Shittas Rambam a little bit later, even though one is allowed to divorce your wife in certain circumstances, still we try to encourage the guy or discourage the guy from divorcing her. We say, shlo lemaher, don't be so quick to divorce your first wife. Even though there might be good reason to, we really strongly discourage from doing it. If there's a mitzvah, so why not perform the mitzvah? Some may not be in avera, but still something we discourage from doing. The Rashba writes very interesting. Wants to know, the Rashba in this Tshuvas wants to know, why don't we say a bracha when performing kedusha, performing gerushin? Kind of a mitzvah according to the Behritav and the Sefer Chinuch, maybe you should say a bracha. He says because there are many instances, like the case of Beis Hillel, where you're actually violating an Avera. Where there's an Isser, when you give a get, because she was violating Averos, there's an Isser involved. So therefore, you don't say brachas on Isserim. It sounds like from the Rajba that giving a get is an Isser, and therefore it doesn't warrant a bracha. So we have right now is there are two approaches. Either there's a mitzvah when you give, you're mekayim a mitzvah when you give a get, or you actually, even though it's allowed, it's an Avera. There's an interesting mission at the end of the first parak of Becharos. The mission at the end of Becharos lists a few cases where we have two options to go. What do I mean? Misha says, if you don't want to do pidyon peter chamor, what's a din? You have a firstborn donkey. It's called peter chamor. You have to poder the chamor, take the kedusha of the chamor, transfer it to a seh, and you give the seh to a kohen. What if you don't want to do that? What's the other option? Break its neck, a rifa. Misha says, lo rat liftoso, orcha orfo machro v'kovro. You break its neck, you bury it. Mitzvah pedia kodemus le mitzvah arifa. If you have to choose, the mitzvah pedia, redeeming the chamor, is takes priority to the mitzvah of breaking the neck. Another example is the mitzvah of yud comes before the mitzvah of pedia. It comes to amirvio. The mitzvah of gibum comes before the mitzvah chalitza. So what comes from this mission is that not only is the pidyon of a peta chamor considered a mitzvah, also the arifa, the breaking of the neck, is considered a mitzvah as well. Okay, it seems very tangential right now. So the Rambam records halachas on Hilchos Bechoros, Bikurim rather, he writes the halachas. He says, mitzvahs asay liftos ko adam petach hamor b'seh, there's a mitzvah to be poda a petach hamor. Also, v'im lo ratzi, if he doesn't want to poda it, mitzvahs asay l'orfo, there's a mitzvah asay to break the neck. The rabbi says, what are you talking about? You can't call breaking the neck of a chamor a mitzvah. All you're doing is being mafsid the mamun of the kohen. You're destroying this chamor, and you're not allowing the kohen to get anything. You can't call that a mitzvah. It's called a mazik. So the Mari Kurkus there on the bottom of the Rambam says, no, it could still be a mitzvah even though there's an avera. You could have this concept that although you are being mazik the mamun of the kohen, you're opting not to give the money to kohen, but instead you're breaking the neck of the chamor, it could still be viewed as a mitzvah, like the mishnah we just quoted in Bechorah says, it's a mitzvah of arifa. He says, what's a similar case? This gerushin. Just like a gerushin, although it might be an avera, at the very same time, it's also a mitzvah. You could have these two in the same thing. So the Mari Kurkus is this middle shita where he combines both. There's an aspect of a mitzvah, and there's an aspect of an avera. That's the opinion of the Mari Kurkus. Now, the opinion of the Rambam gets a little tricky. The Rambam, in Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Yud, Halacha Chaf Aleph. Now, it's interesting to note, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah here of Daf Sadi. He does not put it in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin like you would think. He does not like put it in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin like the Tur and Shulchan Aruch. He's like the Gemara where it leaves it way to the end. It's not until Perek Yud, Halacha Chaf Aleph, smack in the middle, or towards the end of Hilchas Gerushin, he discusses the concept of when one can and when one cannot give Gerushin. Get. So he says, Lo yigarish adam ishto rishona, elim ke matzah ba ervas davar. Shinemar ki matzah ba ervas davar. Who does that sound like? It's a pin. The only time you could give a get is if you find Ervas Davar. However, he concludes the lach and says, V'ein ro'i l'maher l'shaleach ishto rishona. One should not be so quick to send away his first wife. Very strange, right? If they found the Ervas Davar, so the Gemara told us it's a chiv. If there's no edim, it's a mitzvah. So why is the Rambam discouraging us from divorce, someone from divorcing his first wife because of this? Very strange. So the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch struggle with what the shita of the Rambam is. Some say, Rambam passing is like Beis Shammai. He does. He quotes, look at the halachas. He quotes clearly, V'lo yigarish adam isho rishona elam ke matzah ba ervas davar. Clearly Beis Shammai. So what does he mean when he says, but don't be so quick? So the Chilkas Mechokek, one of the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer, he says, that's somewhere in a different case. It's talking about a case that there's one aide said his wife is doing something she shouldn't be doing. So he said, before you divorce and be somich on that one aide, you should really investigate a little bit more. It's a okimta. It's not exactly the same type of case. So two cases. When does Rimamish Erva kick out of the house? There's no real aidus. There's just reglan l'davar or an aid echad or something of those sorts. So then don't be so quick. Relax a little bit. Investigate a little further before... Where do you see that?
So that's talking within Beis Hillel. Rashi says that that's talking about within Beis Hillel.
Okay.
So the Gemara sort of seems like it went according to Beis Hillel, no?
Not just because the Gemara asked the question Lefi Beis Hillel does not necessarily mean we pasuk in that way.
So then why would they specifically?
And what the Gemara deals with the opinion of Beis Shammai. Let's say we pass like Beis Hillel. That's what we do. The Gemara still deals with trying to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai oftentimes.
Yeah, but this is the next sugya already.
And in the end, we're going to take a different approach. But according to, I'm not sure that's such a strong question again, the Chelkas Mechokek. Yeah.
You see, the Rambam is really like Beis Hillel and say that. Because for sure, Erva, you could say they're away. There's not a question. If it's Erva, then you have to send her, whatever it is, the Tia Mitzvah or whatever. But referring to what he says, not to send away your first wife so quickly, it could be talking about the Dovah aspect, in the sense that if she burned your food or something, for that, you know, then possibly fit.
So, in fact, Beis Shmuel, who's another of the Nosei Kelim on Eben Ezra, says this idea. It's really the Rambam passing like Beis Hillel, which works out well, because the Rambam in Peish Mishnayos says we passing like Beis Hillel, and we always passing like Beis Hillel. Why would he passing like Beis Shammai here? It's not on the list of exceptions. Now you should note that the Rambam, in many, many occasions, he will passing like one Tana, yet quote the terminology of the other Tana. Like this case, he passing like Beis Hillel, yet quotes the opinion of Beis Shammai. He does this so many times. Now that just tells us, usually when he quotes it, it means the machlokas is very narrow. They're not so off. They're very, very similar. We'll explain how they're similar. So why does he quote the opinion of Beis Shammai if he really paskins like Beis Hillel? So right to the Beis Shmuel, and Sif Katan Gimel here, and this is Simon Kuf Yotes Ebenezer, he says that, because he wanted to be toe-faced lashon the pasuk. He wanted to use the terminology of the pasuk. That's why. He likes to quote the Pesukim, but it doesn't really mean you only have to find Arayos. Even Dover would be sufficient. Well, a little later we'll explain how it's even more meduyuk why he quotes the opinion of Beis Shammai. But this comes out, the Gra writes this as well, and many others as well. Rambam passing like Beis Hillel, despite the fact that he quotes the opinion of Beis Shammai. Now it works out very well also, because the Rambam does not say that there's a mitzvah. Actually, we'll get a hold off on that point. So those right now we have, there's a mitzvah of Gershon, there's an Isser of Gershon, and there's the Mari Krukos, which is, there's both a mitzvah and an Isser at the very same time. The Mishnah Melech quotes from a Sefer Get Pashut, which you probably see quoted oftentimes. The Get Pashut said there's neither a mitzvah nor is there a Isser. It's simply an Eitzah Tova. Beis Shammai says, you know, in these cases, it's advisable to divorce your wife, but you don't have to. There's no mitzvah, there's no chiv, and if you don't want, there's no Isser either in the other cases, and Beis Hillel also. These are just Eitzah Tovas given. That's all. The Mishnah Melech goes to town with this and says there's clearly many indications in Rishonim that there's clearly an Isser involved. One is he quotes the Rashba we quoted earlier. That why don't you say a bracha on Gershon? Because Gershon is an Isser. You don't say brachas on Isurim. Another Raya he quotes is from the Rivash. Very interesting Raya. Rivash writes, let's say your father commands you to divorce your wife. Kibud Av Aim, you have to listen. But if the Kibud Av Aim goes in the face of an Isser, so you don't listen to your father. He writes, in this case of Gershon, you don't listen to your father because he's telling you to violate an Isser. So that's another raya that the Mishnah Melech proves that it's not simply an Eitzah Tova, it's an Isser.
So why is it an Isser? I'm saying that, it's very nice that they said it's an Isser, but why is it?
So now the great transition to the next piece. What exactly is the Isser involved? So there's a... Some achronim give chilukim of when is there always really an isser, is it across the board or not? And with this, these a couple opinions, we'll try to figure out what exactly is the nature of the isser to perform the gerushin. So the Ramah writes, this is also in Simon Kuf Yates, it's not true that there's always an isser to perform gerushin. It's only if you divorce your wife bal karcha against her will, is there an isser to perform gerushin. But if it's beratzona, and her, she's willing, she wants to, so then there's no isser involved. If there's an Isser of Gershon, so who cares whether she wants to or not? So, it's possible to say that the Isser is a Bein Adam L'Chaver Isser. it's an isser how to treat a person, how to treat your very own wife. If it's against her will, that's an isser in Bein Adam L'Chavero. But if she wants, Biratzon, there's no violation of Bein Adam L'Chavero anymore, it's an agreement. That's pshat, perhaps pshat in the Ramah, who quotes from the Sefer Aguda. The Chalukas Mahogik points out, just even though she may want to, you should still not be so hasty in divorcing her, still best to try to figure things out. The Pesachai Tshuva similarly makes a chilek, but in a different direction, that it's still aser to perform gerushin if the husband is toveya. The husband initiates that he wants to divorce her, and if she agrees, there's still an iser, even though she's in agreement. It's only if she initiates a discussion of gerushin. If she first says, I want to have a divorce, then there's no iser anymore. Sound like there's still a bein adam l'chavero. If she initiates it, so she's okay with it, so there's no violation of bein adam l'chavero. If he does initiate, whether or not she agrees or not, still Pesachai Tshuva advises not to, but if he initiates, it's still a violation of bein adam l'chavero. The Mishnah Melech, however, quotes an opinion from the Mahar Shtam that says, the iser gerushin is only when they're married. But if they're only engaged with that status of arusa, then there's no violation of gerushin. There's no iser of gerushin. What's the difference? If there's an iser of bein adam l'chavero, who cares whether there's an arusa or the nesua? Arusa, she's still, you're dedicated to each other. So why would it make a difference, arusa or nesua? So perhaps you could say it's not an iser of bein adam l'chavero, but it's an iser of being oker kedushas nesuin. The kedushas Yisrael. It's a removal of kedusha. And whenever there's a marriage, two people go into the chuppah together, there's kedushas Yisrael being created. So being ochre, that nesuin, that kedusha, that's the iser. But if there's never nesuin, there's simply an arusa, there's an agreement with each other to eventually get married, but there's no real kedusha, as Erison creates no kedusha at all, it just creates isurim that she's also to the rest of the world, but no real kedusha as of yet, there's no problem of performing a gerushin, even if it's against her will. Now, Mishnah Melech himself ends up attacking this approach of the Maharsh Tam, that whether it's a nisuin or arusa, one should still not perform kedushin. And the very fact, the pasuk is ki kach ish is isha, yikach is talking about kedushin. Even in that context, we learn the halachas of gerushin. So we have so far as 4, 5, 6 different approaches in whether gerushin is a mitzvah or an iser. Some, like the Be'er Heitav and the Sefer Chinuch, said there's a mitzvah. Many say there's an iser. That's why there's no bracha. The Marakrukas had this kind of hybrid, mitzvah and iser, and now we're seeing Mishnah Melech quoted an opinion that's simply an Eitzah Tova, and now we're seeing some chilukim. Maybe it's a difference between iser bal karchel or ratzon, maybe there's a difference between nesuin and arusa. Now let's go into the discussion of Beis Hillel to really appreciate the machlokas even further. Beis Hillel says, again, that afilu hikdicha tafshilo, you're allowed to divorce her. What does that mean? Why is that good enough reason to give a get to one's wife? Sefer Chinuch writes, the same mitzvah we quoted earlier, Tuf Kuf Ayin Tes. He writes, Mishar Shem Mitzvah, V'fisha Isha Nivres La'ezel Adam. A woman is created to help, to assist man. V'hilo Ke'echad Michli Chemdasa. It's like one of his very precious kalim. Don't take this in the wrong way. U'che'inin She'amru Zechon L'Racha Ein Aisha Kareses Bris. A woman does not kares bris. She does not make a bris. Ela L'misha Asa Kli, the Gemara Sanhedrin. Or it makes her into a Kli. The Acha Shekein, after this being so, whenever he finds that this kli is disgusting to him, he could send her away from his house. For this reason, Beis Hillel says, even if she burns his food, he could divorce her for a small little thing. She's just one of the kalim. It sounds very degrading, and it is very degrading. But the Sefer Chinuch says that she's just like one of the other kalim in the house. And for you could just throw it. If you don't like the kli anymore, just throw it out. And same thing with her. For any reason, you could just take her and throw her out. Now, that's not the approach of most other Rishon. But it's an approach. It's a Sefer Chinuch. He's a Rishon. The Rambam writes in Perish Mishnayos, when he talks about how do we paskin, that which Rabbi Kiva says, he's quoting the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and from his approach to Rabbi Kiva, we can learn what he understands about Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva, he says, "Eino halach." We don't paskin that way. Shemata nav mimena yisena v'lo yigari shezos. V'hi lo avra ver klal. So we don't paskin Rabbi Kiva. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't violate an Avera. We don't just send her away if she didn't violate an Avera. Implications being, Beis Hillel thinks an Avera was done. Again, Rabbi Kiva, he says, there was no Avera done. Beis Hillel sounds like there was an Avera. What was the Avera? She simply burnt the food. The Meiri writes, She'ena mishtatelas b'tarchei beiso. She's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. That's the problem. It's not that she left the chicken in the oven for a couple extra minutes. It's she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. Who misareves lo? She is refraining from doing his needs. Not that she's not serving properly, but she's being moreda. She's rebelling against her husband. It's not that the fact that the chicken got burnt. It's she's doing it in a way, in a manner, that's rebellious to her husband. The Torah writes the same thing. Shimpasha kenegdo. She was negligent towards him. She did something wrong. It wasn't simply like she forgot something. She was onus b'davar. She did something directly to her husband. Not necessarily a rile, one of the averas, but something that was being morayed in the relationship, rebellious in the relationship. Now that's the case. It's not simply like the Sefer Chinuch where she just like, I don't like her anymore, I'm going to throw her out. It's more like a Beis Shammai type of approach. Let me say it this way. According to Sefer Chinuch, Beis Hillel is very similar to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, if you find a wife who's prettier, a woman who's prettier, you could divorce her for that reason. Sefer Chinuch says, not if you find anything better, but you find something wrong with her. Not that she did anything wrong, but something disgusting, you could just send her out of the house. According to Chinuch, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva are very similar. According to the Parish Mishnayos, according to the Meiri and the Tur, she did something wrong. She's much closer to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Not necessarily that there was an Avera done of Arias, but there was still something wrong that she did to her husband. Again, it's not leaving the fact that she forgot the oven, the chicken in the oven for a couple extra minutes. She did something, let's say, lahachas. She was rebellious towards her husband. So now let's raise the question this way. Is Beis Hillel similar to Beis Shammai or similar to Rabbi Kiva? That being said, we can understand why the Rambam quotes the language of Beis Shammai. Because according to the understanding is, Beis Hillel violated an Avera. Right? Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, there's no Avera done. Implication being that, according to Beis Hillel, there was an Avera. The Avera being that the wife was rebellious to her husband. Now we can understand why the Rambam quotes the opinion of Beis Shammai, or the language of Beis Shammai. Because he holds that Beis Hillel is very similar to Beis Shammai. There is some Ervas Davar, not really Mamish Erva, but Ervas Davar. Now that being said, we can understand some other Yushalmis, that the Rashba quotes Yushalmi, the Tosos elsewhere quotes Yushalmis on this idea. The Rashba here in our Daf Tzadi quotes Yushalmi that says as follows. A woman who's in Nida is not allowed to adorn herself with jewelry, with makeup, until she goes to the mikvah. Rabbi Kiva says, why would you say that? If that's going to be the case, you're going to cause the husband to divorce his wife. When she's in the state of Nida, she can't dress nicely, she has to look ugly, he's going to want to divorce her. And according to Rabbi Kiva, if you find a prettier woman, you're allowed to divorce your wife. So of course, a woman who's in the state of Nida is allowed to wear makeup. Of course she's allowed to dress up nicely, wear jewelry. That's the machlokas in the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi goes on to say, what comes out is, Rabbi Kiva holds very much like Beis Hillel. That's what the Gemara, Kiva holds like Beis Hillel. Rashi says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel are complete opposites of each other. Why are you comparing Beis Hillel to Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva on his own is able to say that you find a woman who's prettier, you're allowed to divorce your wife. Why is he the Gemara Yushalmi comparing Beis Hillel to Rabbi Kiva? Therefore, Rashi says, Rabbi Kiva stands alone. Beis Hillel is similar to Beis Shammai. So it seems like the machlokas in the Yushalmi and the Rashi is what we've been saying. Beis Hillel, according to Yushalmi, is like Rabbi Kiva. Because Beis Hillel says, okay, maybe if you don't find the woman who's prettier, but if you just find something disgusting about your wife, that's enough reason to divorce her. So it comes out they're very similar. She didn't do anything wrong to you, but it's not your taste anymore. So in that case, Beis Hillel is very similar to Rabbi Kiva. Rashba says no. Rabbi Kiva is completely different. Beis Hillel allows you only to divorce her if there's some reason, like most Rishonim say. She did something wrong to you, not necessarily one of their riles, but she was rebellious against you, in which case Beis Hillel is very similar to Beis Shammai.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Kiva says, let's say your wife is very pretty still, but you find someone prettier, you're allowed to marry her. Beis Hillel would say that if your wife is pretty, she's still matzachein beinav, you can't divorce her. Only if she did something in your eyes that disgusts you.
I mean, the issue is it dependent on her, is it dependent on someone else?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, there's a Tosfos earlier on, which quotes a number of Yerushalmis that connects the same topic of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel to different sugyos. What do I mean? So let's see. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Testament Beis quotes the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai the following case: could someone use an old get to marry to divorce his wife? Let's say he wrote a get in January, and he said, "You know, I don't want to divorce her now." And then a year later, he says, "Now I want to divorce her." Could he use that very same get, a year old, to divorce his wife? Beis Shammai says a person can use an old get, and Beis Hillel says he cannot use an old get. What's considered a get, an old get? That kol shenis yachid ima ma'achesh akas v'lo. He wrote a get, let's say, in January, but didn't give it to her. Then they had yichud together at some point afterwards. Then he writes another get. Then he used that get after they had yichud. Beis Shammai says you could use that. Beis Hillel says you cannot use it. What's the concern? The Gemara tells us the concern is, what's going to happen? They're going to have children who were born, let's say, in November of that year. But the get says they were divorced in January before. So it sounds like they had children not being married. Even though the get was really given after the children were born, but since the Zman of the get tells us it was beforehand, you would think that the children were born after they'd been divorced. And create Mamzerim. Beis Shammai wasn't concerned that will happen. Beis Hillel was concerned. What's Pshat?
Just not
right, not. People will say their mom's Aram. People will say that, claim that their mom's Aram.
Why? They're just not married.
Or that she was Mizan. They're just not married.
Or, right, okay, they wouldn't be his children. Right, not married. So Toz explains, what's the Machlokas? He quotes to Yushami, the Machlokas is as follows. Beis Shammai, what's the reason why Beis Shammai allows you to divorce your wife? It's only when Erva took place. So there's no concern. Obviously, when he wrote the get initially in January time, there was good reason to write the get, because there must have been some reglan the dover of a rayos going on. So there's no concern that there's going to be, even though there's yichud, there's no concern that there's going to be bia after that point. Because according to Beis Shammai's perspective, she is so disgusting in the eyes of him because she was being, there's raglan the davar, she was violating her vows. So we're not concerned that there's going to be bia and then have children from that point. No one would be concerned that ever happened. According to Beis Hillel, says no, she was never disgusting really in the eyes of her husband. It was just that she burnt the chicken or something like that. It was never really this. It was if we're Beis Shammai, sorry, the Yushalmi is coupling Beis Hillel with Rabbi Kiva. And there's no real Avera taking place. So she was really never disgusting in the eyes of her husband. So there is good concern that even once there's Yichud, there would be Bia as well. And that would create people claiming, oh, the children were born after the divorce had happened. Follow me on that? Should I say that again? Again, according to Beis Shammai, the only time you could give a divorce when there's Erva taking place. There's Erva that's taking place, so she's going to be viewed as disgusting in the eyes of her husband. So there's no concern that they're ever going to be with each other ever again. She's so disgusting. Even though there may have been yichud, we don't concern it's going to be further than that. Because she's so disgusting. So even though the get was written in January, he could give it a year later. But according to Beis Hillel, no, you don't need to, there's no avera that she did that you divorce her. And just she burned your chicken once. Like the Sefer HaChinuch's approach. She doesn't become disgusted really in your eyes. So there's valid concern that they will have a bia once again afterwards. So what's going to happen? They have an old get and they have children afterwards. People are going to say, oh, they must have had the children after the get was given. So that's a valid concern according to the Beis Hillel. And I don't want to, there's one other case of this. I'm not going to mention it now. But he connects it to another machlokas later on of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. And Pei Aleph and Aleph, I'll just tell you where the machlokas is. I'm not going to get into it. That Hamagarish is Ishto, someone who divorces his wife. And they end up staying in the same hotel. So is there concern, do they need another get or not? Beis Shammai says they do not need another get. Beis Hillel says they do need another get. We'll go into it, fine. So what's Pshat? Beis Shammai says you don't need another get. There's no concern that, and this Beis Hillel says you do need another get. So the first approach of the Gemara is, they definitely had bia. The question is, do people have willingly bilas znus? Beis Shammai says people willingly have bia znus, and there's not going to be, it wasn't b'shem kedushin. So in Echnam there's bia, but it's bia znus, so it didn't create kedushin, and there's no need for a second get. Beis Hillel says people don't have bia znus. It was Bia? It was Bia B'Shem Kedushin. And therefore they're going to be remarried and you need another get. That's the first approach. The second approach is that, no, they're only Edim, Edi Yichud. The Edi Yichud that they were went to the room together, there was Yichud, but there's no Edim that there was actual Bia. Do we say, Hein Hein Edi Yichud, Hein Edi Bia? That once there's Edi Yichud, it tells us also there was for sure Bia? Or we don't say, just because there's Yichud, there doesn't necessarily mean that there was also going to be Bia. So what's the machlokas whether the Edi Yichud leads to Edi Bia or not? So it says, tell us, based on this Yushalmi, that according to the Beis Shammai, when you divorced her because she was disgusting, she was violating her vows, there's no concern that Yichud is going to lead to Bia. She's disgusting in the eyes of her husband, or ex-husband. So there's no Bia. That even though there's Yichud, there's no Bia. But according to the Beis Hillel, where he simply divorced her because she burnt the chicken, like the Sefer Chinuch's approach, no Aveir was done, she's not disgusting in the eyes of her husband. So if there's Edi Yichud, there's good reason to think there's also Bia. And that's why Beis Hillel requires you to have a second get. Now, I guess we have a few more minutes. I'll just mention on this this last daf here, I don't want to get into all the sugyas here, but there are two noteworthy sugyas that come out of this, just to keep in mind if you want to go into on your own. The opinion of Beis Shammai says that the only time you give a get to your wife is if she was violating a rios with Edom. So Tosos quotes from Yushalmi and says, that there's an Isser Machshir Gushas, right? Once you divorce your wife and she marries another man and then she divorces or the husband dies, you cannot remarry her. You cannot remarry your divorcee if she married another man in between. That's called Isser Machshir Gushas. I think based on Nisun, I think. Pretty sure Nisun, I think so. So the Tosus, the Yushalmi asks, why do you need Isser Machsir Gushasa? Why do you have to, the Torah to create a new Isser? According to Beis Shammai, the only time you could divorce her is if she violated Arayos, Isser Eshes Ish. She's already ushered to you because she was your wife and she was with another man. She's ushered to you now. You didn't Isser Sota. Why does that to be an additional Isser of Machzir Gushaso? Follow the question? Again, if she was married to you and she had Znus with someone else, because that's the only time, according to Beis Shammai, the only time you're allowed to give her a get, if she's violating their vows. So now your wife is Osir to you. So why does the Torah have to create another Isser? If she marries another man, you can't remarry her. Of course you can't remarry her. She's already Osir because it's Sota. Yushalmi says to violate two Averos. If you were to remarry her, it'd be a violation of two different Lavim. That's why. Kivager has this kasha here, and Achronim, there are like 10 different answers in Achronim. What's Pshat going on here? There are other cases. Beis Shammai allows you to give a Ma'ad Avid Avid, the Gemara says, even though you're only allowed to really lechachila give a get when she's violating a rios, if you give her in another case, it would still be effective. So let's say it's such a case where you gave her a get, and there's no Isser involved. So a whole discussion among the Achronim. Now, another discussion, just to keep in mind also, is Gemara asks, what's a din if you give a get when you're not supposed to give a get? Right? The Tanoim tell us you're only allowed to give a get according to Beis Shammai when she violates Arayos. Beis Hillel says only if she burns your food. Rav Akiva says when you find the prettier woman. But let's say none of those cases. Let's say according to Beis Shammai, she burned your chicken and you wanted to give her a get. So if you do give a get, the Gemara paskens, my David Avid. What you've done, it's a good get. And even though the Chachila Beis Shammai says you can, but the Evid, it works. So the Achronim asks, Pnei Shu and others, there's a concept that whenever the Torah tells us you can't, when there's an Isser, violation, I read the Pnei Shu, here we go. I'll get that for you. Pnei Shu says, this is the opinion of Rava here. There's a Gemara in Tmura, Dav Dal and Beis, which tells us, Kol Mai De Amar Achamar Lo Sa'avid, whenever the Torah tells us you can't violate an Avera, if you violate the Avera does not chal. So here in the case of Gershon, the Torah tells us you can't divorce in certain cases. So if you try to divorce in certain cases, so it doesn't work. It's not effective. Like the Gemara talks about, let's say in Temura, there's an issue to steal from someone. Lo sigzel. So if you steal, so you shouldn't be able to be kona the object. Because whenever you violate an Avera, your actions cannot be effective. And the Gemara has to give explanations why kinani gezela work. Hidroso, according to Beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to divorce in certain cases. It's an issur divorce in certain cases if there's no arayos. So why is a get a good get? So that's the Pnei Yeshua and others ask. So those are two sugyas to keep in mind. But hopefully this was in general a good introduction, I guess a few days late, to the Masechta of the nature of Gerushin and the mitzvah and the issur involved in getting a get.